Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 108 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, it is the final TDD, TIE, they don't do that in Europe, episode of the year, of the season. I guess not the year, of the 2017-2018 season. It's the awards show, the Toadies, I believe is what we're going with. Toadies, TDD, TIE. You win your statue. It's a toady. Yeah, and we got a great show that I know it's great because we've already recorded it, and it's going to come up here in a minute or so. But yeah, Mr. David Palin, Scott Diedenbach, and myself get together, and we go through our annual awards. And the cool thing about this year is we ask for your input as well, and you guys hit it out of the park. So we have our viewer choice awards too that we throw in there. So a good time to be had, and we'll get to that as soon as I tell you about Health IQ. HealthIQ.com/CXHairs. Go there and you are going to learn more about getting life insurance. It's something that you need to think about. I say it every week. This is the last time of the 2017-2018 cyclocross season that you're going to hear me talk about it, although you may hear me talk about it next week. But regardless, they have exclusive rates. They have lower rates than you can find elsewhere if you qualify, and I know you will, because what they're looking for is people who are in shape, people who take care of themselves. And I know as cyclists, as people who are members of the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, that is the demographic that they want. That's why they have stuck with us and continue to advertise, because it works, and they're going to get you those lower rates. You just have to qualify by taking a quiz and answering the cycling related questions, or you can pick another quiz as well. I'm sure y'all are doing fine. If you're on Strava, you can send them those records. So, you know, doing that kind of stuff is not just superfluous. It actually comes in handy when you want to get deals on life insurance, and that's what our friends at Health IQ can help you with. So please do me a favor, go to healthiq.com/CXHairs. I talked to those folks there. Get yourself some lower rates on life insurance and support the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. And while you're supporting the network, you can also go to wideanglepodium.com, click on the donate link, give $5 a month, give anywhere upwards from there. We have a growing community, and it's really great to see. And I just looked on the homepage of the Wide Angle Podium .com, and I didn't put out a Crosshairs Radio last week, had to take the week off, and I'm looking on it, and the episode I had with Jeremy Powers, not even on the front page anymore, because there are so many new shows that have taken the place and have been put out just in the last week. And it makes me really happy that we have content providers that are out there putting out all of this good stuff week after week just for your ears. For instance, How to Endure, Alex Hutchinson. That's a new Consummate Athlete podcast. There's a new Kids Don't Follow. I think you should check that out. We played less music, did a lot more talking, got into it. It was a lot of fun. Laser Radio. They've been killing it lately. Brad Soner doing an awesome job with that. He's got Kurt Stockton on there. There is a Bike Shop CX show about how to build your own tubular. You have to listen to that if you're into cyclocross. The Slow Ride Podcast, Negative Bobsled up there. Another Consummate Athlete. We Got to Hang Out. Honest Bicycle Program. All of them up there just within the last week. That is a ton of content, a ton of quality content, and we'd love you to be part of the fun. Go to wideanglepodium.com. and support the network. All right, that's all I got. Let's get into the toadies. Take it away, Scott.
All right, we'll just roll. Okay, we're
rolling. We should go.
We should go.
All right, tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Bill, are you ready?
I mean, as soon as you start saying stuff like that, you know that's going to be the intro.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another, the season ending. Is this the season ending?
Edition of season beginning.
It's a circle.
It's the beginning of the Australian CX season. Welcome, everybody. This is the awards show for TDD TIE. Bill, by the way, the great explanation of what TDDTIE is to Jeremy Powers.
Thank you. Taylor Jones is upset because Jeremy referred to it as an acronym, and he's like, it's not, and it's abbreviation because it's not a real word. And that's why I'm like, no, Toadie. Or Toddy.
Todd
Toddy. Real word.
Okay, that's why you called this the Toadie Awards. Yeah. I kind of wasn't sure, but now I get it.
That and I kind of like the name, the band name.
I was going to go back and listen to the episode. I think it was me that threw out the Toadies.
Did you throw out Toadies? Oh, I think David Pound. We're giving David Pound credit for this. He's the
this
rubber.
This may come up later in this episode.
He's
know?
The rubbernecker.
Give credit where credit's due.
He's the rubbernecker. Hey, speaking of Australia, have you finished your intro? Are we done with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Speaking of Australian cyclocross season story, did you see that we got a shout out there for one of the drills they're doing, and if I think it was the Dirty Deeds.
I did. Do you want to tell
Indeed.
About it?
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that I like, that how we are influencing people getting into the sport. Like you can have people out there who do drills about how to do things right, and when things are perfect, and how to dismount and how to remount and how to ride a perfect line. All that's great. There's a book I would like you to get that has all this stuff in it. But what I like is this show is known now for two specific things when it comes to drills. One, and we've had this happen, the junior cyclocross practice who all had to go through the what happens when your chain falls off drill.
Right.
Yes.
Right, where you're bending over and getting your chain back on. And they practiced that. They drilled that. They had everybody with their chain off the bike and then having to get it back on and get going again. So that we're responsible for that. And now the how to find your bike after you crash and it goes sliding somewhere out from under you drill.
And then pick it up, find out what's wrong with it, and ride.
And even if there's like more than one person, finding your own bike. So it was almost like a blind Le Mans drill.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like, it almost looked like single speed worlds.
Yeah, where everybody was lying down on the ground, right. And then they had to get up and go find their bike and then get back on and ride.
Yeah.
Only thing missing was a slip and slide.
Yeah, exactly. That would be cool. No, it was a great little video. And did you see there was actually other people besides the video that was sent to Twitter also filming? So there's like in between all these people trying to grab their bikes, there's like people with video cameras filming this craziness from all these different angles. Yeah. It was great. It
They're
was
filming
awesome.
The toady drills.
The toady drills. I like that. I like that.
No, I thought that was awesome. And thank you for sending that in. That was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, that was cool. So we have our award. Do you guys remember the awards?
No.
Did you remember what they were?
After you sent it, I did, yeah. I remembered every single one of them.
Yeah.
So we have to, like, at some point discuss, do we want to continue with these specific ones, or is there better ones that we can do for... For tonight, we're going to do the ones that we've always done, but we'll have to consider tweaking them in the future, too. Because I think we talked about it last year, too, and then never did it. So
yeah. Maybe we're just locked in.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to break tradition either, right? You got to keep it.
I like that we just throw everybody in there together. There's no, you know, men's award, women's award.
Yeah,
or maybe
no,
we do
no,
want
no.
that. I don't know. I think it's just, yeah.
No, I like it like it is. I like it like it is. So, all right. Well, do you guys... Do you guys want to get on with it? Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So we decided, dear viewers, that we are going to give our answers first. We got a lot. Hey, Bill, the viewers put the pressure on with their Twitter suggestions.
They were amazing. That was such a great response. I mean, in retrospect, and I apologize on air to you, Scott, for not, since you were nice enough to compile these, of not asking you all to... have a hashtag, so they were really easier to find. So if we didn't get yours, that's my fault for not telling you all to put a hashtag on it. But the responses were awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean it was really good. And some people didn't pick some; they just left some blank. And yep. So it was a little bit hard to compile. But we got through. Yeah. You don't have to pick everyone. I mean, but we will. And so, anyways, we have this list. We'll go through what some of the other suggestions were, not necessarily with the people's names, but we'll have them all that we will read out. So, all right, as you guys are aware, our first award goes to Best Course Feature. Who wants to go first? Bill, you go first.
I'll go first. I went for some of these. I just wanted to go, well, at least for this one, I went with personal experience, and I had such a good time this year, getting out of the Mid-Atlantic and seeing a lot of the races around the country that I hadn't seen before. And even though this is one that I had seen before, I still think, and it just sort of hit home to me today, sitting in the photo, but actually having to sprint from the start line to the Mount Crumpet for the men's and the women's race at Jingle Cross, and having that feature, which is just this, you know, tough run up that some people can ride, but a long, you know, sustained uphill grind that is not too far into the race, that on the first lap, it's still a stampede. And it's still just the whole field coming through there. And nothing has been decided yet. There's nobody off the front. And that's just that. And with that crowd there and all of the excitement, that's just that. When I was thinking back, for me personally, just to see that in person and have that experience, I think I'm, for this year, I'm giving it to the Mount Crumpet run up.
Nice. That's a great pick. I actually considered Mount Crumpet myself. But yeah, solid. Solid, dude. David, what are you going to go with?
I'm going with Toyo Tires.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I thought that, and I was surprised that none of our listeners and viewers got that right either. Yeah. But
explain to people, just in case anybody's missed out on these races where that appeared, what exactly the feature entailed.
So there were, I believe, two races this year, yes? Two? Maybe
at
more.
Least, yeah.
Yeah, there were several, I think.
Where Toyo Tires is a sponsor, and what they did was they buried tires upright about half to three quarters deep in the dirt, which created the barriers that you had. They were, you know, side by side on edge, or side by edge, two sets, and it created a barrier that some ran, others bunny hopped, and if you did bunny hop, you ran the chance of getting your tire caught between two of the tires, which could kind of get you stuck in there. But unlike wooden barriers, if you miss it coming up over, trying to get over it, it is rounded because it's a tire. So it was a little bit easier from a ride over standpoint. But the thing that I really, really thought was great about it is it was a way to get a sponsor involved in a way that now we're talking about Toyo Tires.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any problem. I know some people thought it was stupid or had problems with it. I didn't see it negatively or change the outcome of any race or anything. I thought it added an interesting element. Every course that it was on, you paid attention to where it was, or, you know, tended to. And when it came up, you were like, oh, here come the tires, you know? So I thought it added an element to every race. And I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool idea. I liked it.
So they are a sponsor of the Dave Bay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep.
So Antwerpen, some other Hama, I think, were the two races at least.
Now, maybe it'll be in all the Deveves next year, but yeah, I think it was only two this year that I remember.
Yeah.
And under that kind of subline B would be in Belgium, where the Red Solo Cup provides a barrier as well all over by the middle of the second race. But this is like official. This is official put in there on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. And you only see that Red Solo Cup barrier when there's other nationalities in the race too.
That's when they're flying. Yes.
When it's Belgian nationals, there's no Solo Cups on the course. there's no one to throw them at. So, all right. Well, those were two great picks, you guys. I'm going with, for best course feature for me, I'm going to go with, this is kind of like struggled with this one a bit. It's not really a course feature, but I really liked it. Was the rutted left turn build that you put in the video at Worlds?
Yeah.
I think the one that Evie Richards was just railing on. And the reason I picked that is because that thing had an impact on the outcome of every single race,
I think.
Yeah, I think So I just think that was a great feature. I know that the mud added to it. It wasn't necessarily, and that's why I almost didn't pick it. But then in the end, I'm like, no, I got to pick this because I think it was so important. I mean, that's where Pidcock had his some of his problems. I know he had many problems, but and the way that Evie Richards rode that was just incredible. I think Katie was riding it great too. So was Sonny Kant. So anyways, I think that was probably one of the coolest features of the year for me. So. All right. Do you guys want to go with what some of the viewers submitted?
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead,
so.
Bill. Yeah, read some off, Bill.
Okay. Coke Side of Sand. Dinosaurs at Nationals, which led me to make the joke that it was mean to call Jeremy Powers that. But I think what they were talking about was the dinosaur playground that the course went through at the right before the finish line.
Yes. Yes.
Dekeel, is that what is that?
That's the sand mountain at
Zone.
Yeah,
Zonhoven.
Zonhoven. Yeah.
Yes.
The big pit. Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome. Which that always just fantastic crowds at. So that's always a good one. The mud at Spanish Nationals. I like that.
And the way they wrote it too was the mud at Spanish National.
That race was just insane.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a good one too. The new Copenberg climb. That
was a really good one. I almost went with that.
And that race, I mean, that just changed that. That race used to, I mean, it was always different because it's such an up and down race with the elevation. It was like climb, descent, you know, and they used to have like this serpentine descent on it and all this kind of stuff. But the way that they had that laid out this year, it was a compelling race, race track and led to some really, well, at least on the women's side. So an amazing race that I think the course, the course definitely played a part in how that race played out and how Helen Wyman was able to use it to her advantage.
I agree. Yeah, having that full Copenberg climb was definitely a thing to watch. So, all right, keep going.
Valkenburg mud.
Someone said there was just too many.
Too many best course features. Yeah, that was the next one.
Right.
The Azenkross grassy whoops. Yeah, those are always good ones. This was a Scott Herman one, I know. Muddy slopes at Louisville. That was for the Derby. That was interesting because I was trying to think back on that and I was like, I don't remember that. And then I remembered that I was only there for the Pan Am Day, which was Sunday.
Mm.
And not the
Derby. Oh, that's right.
Derby.
Yeah, you missed the
City
Saturday. Yeah.
Cup, which was Saturday. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I saw the pictures, completely different venues, even though it was the exact same track.
Yes. Completely different conditions for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
even
that's
though
what
the course was unchanged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Other viewer awards, all the barriers that Ellen hopped. You can take that figuratively and literally if you like. the camber in the moor.
A classic.
Yeah.
A classic.
And then another one for Dinoland at CX Nats. So
a couple picks for the dinosaur, even though that was more like a decoration than an actual feature, but you did ride through it, but it was cool.
It was cool. It was sketchy too. I mean, that's the thing. The more important than that, that's where they had like the sidewalk that basically went through the middle of the track.
Right. So it was narrow.
Yeah. And you could get your tire sort of wedged or in around the wrong way. I think there might have been some flats in that area. But yeah, it's funny. We all saw the dinosaurs in the pictures before we got there. We're like, oh, amazing dinosaurs. And you're like, oh, it's a playground with dinosaurs. But yeah, it's all good.
But it was very cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, I think we covered best course features. Is there anything that's popped into your guys' minds since we've been talking about it? I think we covered it pretty well. I mean, there's you know, thousands of features that we could pick.
Yeah,
All of them good, and yeah, some classic ones in there.
I will say that not feature, but maybe just all the features in the venue for again, you know, getting out and actually seeing these races. Going to DeVue for the first time, that, you know, as far as the U.S. courses go, I still just am in love with that venue. And I was, I was really happy to have made it out there because what a great course.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Bill, because that's one of my favorites. And I remember you were a little cranky.
there must have been calendar issues.
No, that was when you were messing with that that gyro.
It was
on your camera.
It was completely gear. I was fighting. I was fighting camera gear.
I had to just leave Bill alone. Okay, I'm going to go this way. You go that way. All right. Well, let's move on.
Scotty B, before you move on, there's one left, one that we forgot that wasn't necessarily a feature per se, not that you rode over it or was on the track, but locally here, that cannon at the start of Matt Anthony. Yeah. I know.
I can't believe you didn't pick that.
I will find a picture. I will tweet it out after this show. So those who don't know anything about it.
Michigan specific awards is going to be like the cannon in the pontoon boat.
In the pontoon boat. Yeah. No, we're not, I'm not giving JB that one.
Okay,
nope,
good.
This one's all cannon. Sorry, JB.
JB, the emails go to David, not to me.
He'll be calling me tomorrow.
Well, our next category is best lap, and we kind of interpret this as best lap by an individual rider, but it doesn't have to be. Some people just pick a lap overall. So, David, you want to go first for this one?
Yeah, I thought of it as it's kind of a little different, I know, a little esoteric perhaps, but Jonathan Page's victory lap of this season. Oh,
good pick. Good pick.
That's a good one.
You mean
one.
The one? Yeah. Yeah, just for the...
For his final season, just really went out with a, you know, class act.
Yep, absolutely. Great pick. All right, Bill, you want to go?
Sure. I'm going with, I mean, of all the races, I think the lap that had me the most excited and the most on the edge of my seat, if I was even sitting, you know, it has to be Compton's lap. What was it, two to go, where she was up 8 seconds and looked like
you're talking about
at Worlds and looking like she might win Worlds, and I am screaming at my computer, and just that, you know, didn't turn out the way that maybe we wanted it to as far as Katie Compton's concerned, but that second, that penultimate lap in the Worlds, women's Worlds race this year, I think I have to give a shout out to that one. That was definitely the most exciting one for me.
I think that is a great pick, and that is hard to beat. I picked a similar thing to that, but I did not pick that specific lap. So what I picked, also a Katie Compton lap, but this was two World Cups before that at Nome. Mm. I'm picking lap one of Katie Compton at Nome, because I don't know if you guys remember, we're all in Reno having a great time. Katie Compton wins nationals, and everybody's like, "Yeah, all right, we've seen that before." 14, oh, who cares? You know, but we've expected that, right? We all expect that performance from Katie Compton at nationals, and she did it and crushed it and was great. Then she goes to Nome. And in lap number one at Nome, first World Cup back, we're all like, okay, there's rumblings in the back of, is this Katie Compton's year? Is she having a year where she can really push it for Worlds? And then that first lap of Nome comes, and she puts 25 seconds on the field. Mm. And mm-hmm. you're like, holy crap, she can do this. She can win Worlds. Yeah. To me, that's when I first started thinking, she has a legit shot at winning Worlds.
Yeah, and in
that first lap.
In a World Cup, not in a race that everybody's
exactly.
like taking the week off or it's not their
exactly.
main race. Like, big race.
In a World Cup when she just traveled back from the U.S., from almost the west coast of the U.S., right? All the way, long travel, no gimmies in that at all. And she goes and puts 25 seconds on the field. And I'm like, whoa. And then she put 9 seconds on him in the second lap and then 7 seconds on him in the third lap. So, I mean, but I think that first lap at Nome, that was where I first went, okay, this is legit. She has got a full-on legit shot at winning Worlds. So that is my pick for best lap. Cool?
Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
All right, well, let's do some of the viewers' suggestions. I'll read through this list. Best lap, Kant's last lap at World Championships. Also a great pick. Someone picked a tie between Wout Van Aert and Katie Compton lap two at World Championships. Also legit pick. Well, that's a great pick with that Wout lap too. Evie Richards at Namur and Helen Wyman at Copenberg, both great picks. Even Evie Richards at Namur, yeah, that lap where she just, where she said, you know, she realized that, that was the leaders up in front of her and she just, you know, went after them was amazing. First lap, Vanderpool at Dutch Nats. That's a legit pick. Again, another vote for Evie's third at Namur. Last lap of Elite Women's Worlds. That one's a, that's a popular one. Another one for Evie Richards at Namur. Another one for Richards at Namur. Or at, what does that say? Richards third any world. I don't know what I was typing there.
I think you're probably third lap at Namur or any lap of hers that was.
Oh, I see. Yep, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yep. Last lap of women's race at World Championships. Last USA Cycling Nats with Jeremy Powers and Stephen Hyde. I'm glad that got mentioned because you can't overlook that.
No, that easily could have been my pick. That was another spectacular one. Again, going back to my theme of things that I saw in person. I mean, that just was, as I said when I talked to Jeremy, it was a street fight and in the best way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then another vote for the final lap of the U.S. Men's Championship Nationals. Maud Kapteyn's first lap at Kokkasaita.
That was a very, very good lap.
Yes. Last CX Nats lap with Stephen Hyde and Jeremy Power. So I think that's probably the most popular pick right there by our viewers.
I think that and Evie probably tied.
That and Evie, yeah. So, but it's not a popularity contest. All that counts is our picks.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's good, man. That was great. That was a tough one to pick. That's always one of the ones I struggle. You know, because you got to try. It's like, how do I remember every single lap that was raced this year? And, you know, how do you come up with good ones? So I think we did an excellent job, gents.
Yes.
All right. Now moving on to one of my favorite categories, I think you guys probably too, is most surprising rider. Since you guys both went first, I'll go first this one. And this one, I think got picked by a lot of our viewers, but I had to pick it. I struggled with who to pick for this one, but I ended up going with Harriet Harden as a junior woman getting fourth place in the U23 Worlds race. I think is, to me, was out of nowhere. I know people are like, well, I saw her at such and such, and it's but she wasn't riding. It's not like she was consistently riding top five World Cups all season long, right? I mean, she just came out of nowhere for most of the world, and I think that was the biggest surprise for me this season. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I agree, and I had her at the top of my list as well, and if you really thought that way when you're like, oh, well, if you would have seen her at the UK this and that series or in Nationals, you would have known that wasn't out of the ordinary, then you should have said something at that time. I haven't seen anybody's Facebook post or Twitter post, hey, look out for Harriet Harden, come world. Right. She's going to surprise all of you, going to shock the world. You show me that post before Worlds happened, and then I'll believe you that you knew this was going to happen. But no,
exactly.
That's fine. I understand all of you folks in the UK want to take pride in her accomplishment and say you knew her when, and that's good. But 16 years old and fourth in the world, come on, that's still a surprise.
Yes, I agree. So was that your pick too, Bill?
She was on the top of my list. Other people I did have on my list, you know, most surprised, I don't know. I would just shout out to Ben Gomez on his Vichafanye.
He was second on my list too. That's awesome.
Just such a great year for him. Even though he would bristle by saying it was a surprise, Tobin Ortenblot was on my list for the year that he had, especially, you know, starting out and just crushing all of those early season races.
That's a solid pick because I can go back to when I talked to him in our bonus content on Bike Shop CX, kind of jokingly said to him about winning the series, you know, this season. And then it's like, oh, my God, he almost did it. And, you know, I was like, whoa, I had no idea that was coming. So, yeah, no, that's a solid pick.
And then the last one was just Evie in the elites, you know, coming in and everybody just sort of goes into that best lap with what she did at Namur.
Yeah, exactly. All right, David, what do you got for us? Most surprising rider.
Well, I had also had Harriet Harnden, and for all the reasons that have already been said, this is a difficulty about going last in this one.
Yeah.
I think certainly early on, if we think back to the beginning of the season, when Maud Kapteyns went out and was like crushing it. And we remembered her sort of from previous years, but she really was kicking it. And I so for that, I think I'm going to have to go with Maud. Although I think Harriet would be the clear choice.
Yeah, no, I think that's a totally legit pick. So, all right, David, do you want to read us through some of the viewers' suggestions for this one?
I figured you'd put me in this position here. So, most surprising rider, we had Maud Kapteyns, Evie Richards, we think, and also for great reasons, Yolanda Neff, Tim Merlier, and Lois Sells.
Somebody had to pick three.
Yeah. Yolanda Neff. Well, I picked like six. So Yolanda Neff is a good pick.
Yeah. Yeah. She is.
Now, this next person, when he says most, or she says most surprising rider, this is her way of saying, I don't listen to the show enough.
Yeah. Right.
Because this person was surprised by Alvarado, who, if you remember correctly, and I hate doing this, but I have to give credit to Scotty D. Who very early on said, like the first or second race of the season, look out for Alvarado. This is the name we're going to be hearing more about this year. So
I don't
know
if it was that early, but it was before I had heard anything else talked about her for sure. So yeah, cool.
Yep. So there we go, and then Harriet Harnden, Lois Sells, Stephen Hyde.
That's a good pick,
I guess. Yeah.
By his world's performance alone, I think that pick could stand on just on that even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess not so much domestically, but we've seen other strong U.S. riders then try to take their game to Europe and it doesn't play so well, but certainly Stephen Hydes did. Mm-hmm. Matthew Vanderpool at World Champs.
How is that a surprise? Just because he did.
I think it's a negative surprise.
Yeah, the
but
surprise
if I listen
was...
to the show and I listen to Scott Diedenbach, I know that he doesn't perform.
There's two that would have been off that list.
There you go. And at Ben Races Cross, that's Bijafanye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another one from Maud K. Harriet Harnden at Worlds again. And then someone trying to get on our good side put in at Mr. David Palin.
Some Weisenheimer.
Those Weisenheimers.
That was for your solid work on all the podcasts.
That was surprising.
Well, those are all good. I didn't see anything in there that I don't think belongs. I think those are all legit picks, and they all work, even Mr. David Palin. So. All right, moving on. This is a lot of people's favorite category that we have coming up. We've done three. We got four more. So the next category is looking for a comeback. All right. Are we back? We've gone full circle now, Bill. So it's back to your first pick.
Mm.
You can explain how we interpret this a little bit if you want. And it's kind of
how
just...
do we interpret this? I mean,
that's one of the beauties of it, though, is you can kind of interpret it. I think it means somebody who didn't have the year that we expected them to have this year is how I usually interpret it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I don't know. I have a hard time with this one always. I guess. I don't know
You're
if I like.
Too.
I mean, I am because I sort of was like, well, because I'm looking like even at the readers, I had like Voss, like okay, Mason, I think that I am I'm gonna Diedenbach this one and say despite winning, and this is gonna go completely contra to later on in my list, but despite winning 32 races this year, I think not winning Worlds is a disappointment for Matthew Vanderpool And if anything else, that's going to be his goal next year. I mean, what does he have to prove by winning 33 races next year?
How many of those 32 wins do you think he would trade for a world championship?
That's right. Exactly 20, what I was thinking, too.
20 of them? 25? Yep. 30 of them?
I don't know. I mean, Welt didn't win a lot of races, but he won the big one, didn't he?
Yeah, and I know Sven, you know, until he won in Louisville was like, it just doesn't, people put too much, you know, on that, and it's really not that big of a deal. You can't, world championships aren't that, but hey, everybody else they are, and that's what people are going to judge the greatest on, so yeah. Looking for a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, you at least have to ride well. You know, even if he didn't win, if he came out and rode really well but still got beat, that would be one thing. But he didn't even ride well, and that's the thing that really makes you go, God, man. You know, yeah, let's see him ride well at Worlds. If he gets beat, fine, but let's see him ride well. You know,
here's my other choice that I hope. This is just what I hope for. Yolanda Neff.
Since you want to see her come back next year, and
I
want to
see her come back,
across?
Get over. You know, she left cyclocross in such a horrible way. I want her to come back and just crush it for next year.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
not give up on the sport and just come back and just dominate.
I hope so too, because she definitely added an element of excitement to all the races she was in, for sure. I mean, you were always looking for her because she was dangerous at any time in any race. She could, you know, make it interesting. So, all right, great pick, David. Looking for a comeback. Who do you got?
You know, there's so many good choices here. I think in Kevin's place in my list here, I'd have to go with Kevin Powles. You know, he, for lots of reasons, he's got a bone to pick now, I think, and next year he should be coming at it really hard. Tom Musin, of course, also kind of gets uninvited to the dance, so to speak. Although, no, he was at Worlds. I don't mean uninvited in the same way Kevin Powles was. So those are two. But, of course, you know, you guys know where I'm going with this. And I don't even know if it's a comeback so much as coming up.
Let me guess.
There you go. You know who it is.
Lars Vandehaar.
Lars Vandehaar, baby. My first pick truly was going to be Matthew Vanderpool.
I love it.
Us little guys got to stick together. And Lars Vandehaar, baby, next year's your year. We'll wait for that comeback.
Oh, that is amazing. So, all right. No, those are actually both very good picks. For my pick, if we're looking for a comeback, I don't think any of the viewers picked this lady that I picked. And I picked Sophie DeBoer.
That's an awesome pick. I completely overlooked that. That's the best pick.
Well, I have to give it to him on that one. Although her non-comeback, her hanging out in Bora Bora and wherever else she's been doing really well in her off-season, her extended off-season. But, yeah, she'll be coming back strong, I bet. You're right, Scotty D.
Yeah, I hope so, because we certainly didn't see the Sophie DeBoer of the previous year or years. She was someone I was hoping to really see good things from this year. It didn't really happen for her. So I'm hoping she's getting a good rest and recovery, and she's going to be back next year crushing it. She's still young, so she can get in there and mix it up for sure. So
if the rumors are true.
Yes.
She will be in a much better position team-wise next year.
Well, that's good.
Oh, wow. Does that mean we now need to listen to the slow ride for the rumors?
Yeah. Yeah, they got all the inside stuff.
All right. So, looking for a comeback, viewer suggestions. Whose turn is it, Bill?
I think it's mine. I mean, David had to rename, so I guess I do as well, although these seem easier. Tom Mason, it's a good one.
Good pick.
You know, come back to what? I love Tom Mason, but when we could have said the same thing last year.
True.
Yeah.
So this is a long play for Tom. Mariana Voss. I think that's a decent pick. I think she's one to sort of watch to see where she's gonna end up. And obviously, didn't she win like the week after Worlds?
Yeah, because she dropped out of the top 50, so she had to win to get back in the top 50, so she promptly did. Yeah,
yeah, she's sort of at that point in her career. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, you don't want to bet against her. Kevin Powell's, and then it's funny, we have Voss, Powell's, and then somebody picked Powell's and Voss.
Kevin and Voss.
Yeah. So I think Voss is probably...
Mason and Kevin.
I think Voss and Mason are definitely the winners here. I'm not going to... I mean, every time you were logging it in, those are the names. Courtney McFadden?
Yes. Yes. And she didn't really have an off year. She just had surgery. So
yep. Yeah.
We're going to see. And I just talked to her the other day. She's doing wonderful, and everything is ahead of schedule.
Awesome.
Ahead of where it was last year, because she had a surgery, same surgery last year, so...
Here's an interesting one.
On the other side.
Julian Verschuren.
That's a great pick, too, I think. Yeah.
Definitely not the year we were expecting from her. And, of course, Mr. David Palin.
I was such a surprising rider. Why am I looking for a comeback?
Oh, that is
beautiful. I think that just slots right in the most controversial moment before we even get to it.
Don't even have to describe it. Just have to say most controversial moment, Mr. David
Palin.
Oh, I love it.
Well, I'm glad I'm here for your entertainment value.
All right. Well, those are all legit picks. I think, you know, Tom, Kevin, and Voss probably led those lists. So, we'll see. So, you guys, I'm looking at my list from last year. Do you know who? This will be a good discussion topic. Do you know who I picked for this for last year?
For looking for a comeback?
Looking for a comeback.
Who?
Alvarez.
I picked Jeremy Powers. So, what do we think? Did that happen? I think it did. I think his performance at U.S. Nats, it was a signal that, okay, he had a lot of troubles this year. Don't get me wrong with the Pan Am race and the heart stuff and all that. But I think we got to see Jeremy Powers again this year after a year of really not seeing the Jeremy Powers we were used to at Nationals. So I thought that was good. I think he had a good season.
Yeah.
Comments?
I agree.
I would say that certainly his performance at Nats, we got to see Jeremy Powers.
Right.
It's really unfortunate that's all we got to see. His performance was really at Nats. He did some stuff earlier in the season, a little bit, but he spent a lot of time and listened to Crosshairs Radio, very good show. They have an interview with Jeremy Powers where he talks about kind of racing for the team in some of the races where it wasn't all about Jeremy, and I think some of that showed. So he had a great season this year. He didn't have the results as in looking for a comeback that I would expect for the year, but that race he had with Stephen Hyde was amazing.
Well, I think he had a good race at Pan Ams until the heart stuff came, and I think he had a good race at Rochester too, at the beginning of the season too. So and maybe some more in there that I'm not thinking of. So yeah, I think I saw it and I thought it was an interesting thing that we could talk about. So, all right, moving on. Our next is anything else for looking for a comeback, or are we good?
I think we're good.
We are on to most controversial moment, and I think this is my turn to go first. I hate this one.
Yes.
And I have to go first. I'm going to say, and this wasn't really controversial. It was just kind of like, in a way, I view this one as, okay, what was there a bunch of gossip about and what were people chit-chatting about? And I picked, kind of just, you know, for the heck of it, I picked when the gossip around Wout going to Lotto, when he was seen with the pictures with Hyde there. Do you guys even remember that?
Yeah, Lotto Soudal.
Yeah, so I just picked that as the most controversial moment. Some years, I think the year when we added this category, there was a lot of good race stuff to pick for this category. And this one's become much harder to pick, I think, in recent years. So, all right, most controversial moment. David, hit me.
I thought Bill was next.
You can go. Okay. I guarantee you we're not going to have the same one.
I'm sure we're not. I was going to go with the real basic Kevin Powell's sitting home for Worlds.
Yeah, that's a good pick, man. Legit.
Yep.
All right, Bill, what do you got? Allergies.
Right. I don't want to bring everything down. My pick for most controversial moment, I was like, oh, do I even mention it? But it was the thing that I think definitely there are a lot of stuff out there. You know, we can talk, and I think we've talked a lot, and it's always going to be not having equal pay for women in the sport. That's always going to be something that's going to be controversial until it is not an issue anymore. So yes. We are not forgetting that. That is always, right. And we've talked about it a lot, and we, you know, this show and all of us 100% support having that equal pay out.
Same. I think last year we made that its own category.
Yeah.
It was like its own thing. Yes, this is, until this is not, you know, this would be everybody's pick. But
right.
Aside from that, yeah.
Same thing with the race durations. And we had a couple this year that definitely were off. I'm, as I had in earlier picks, I'm going to stay at home. And for me, I think the most controversial moment, and somebody actually took a different angle on this in our reader picks, but my most controversial moment is crowdsourcing prize money.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. You
not
were pretty,
a fan.
You were pretty vocal
pick.
About that too. I remember.
Not a fan of that at all. I think if you have it, put it out there. And I didn't like that it was, we have this money, but we're not going to add it to the pot. This was for the U.S. Cup. Until the show air, and show air was like, we got this money, but if the fans out there can match it, then we'll give this money also. And my thing is like, if you have the money, just give it.
Yep.
Don't put that burden on the fans. That's not the spectators. You know, if people want to like support it, they want to be a sponsor, that's awesome. But that's not their job in this. Either you have it or you don't. So I think that there are things that GoFundMes are good for, and I don't know. That one just sort of left me with a little sour taste in my mouth, I have to say.
No, that's a great pick.
I think that was also right around the same time that we, because I wasn't part of it, but there was this movement afoot to save, what was it, Garmin, right?
Right.
Same thing, save
yeah.
Argyle
yeah.
On with crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And I agree with you as I did then, that's not what crowdfunding should be used for in this instance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally legit. I think that's a really good pick. I would agree with it for sure. All right. So this is the one where we didn't get as many viewer submissions for this one, but we got some good ones. So I believe it's my turn to read these off. So most controversial moment as submitted by TDDTIE viewers.
A lot of disclaimers on this one.
We've kind of covered the first one. First one is Trabone thanking Lance for money. Woo! Second one, women's race duration at Namur World Cup. Sven Vanternout World Selection. That's a big one. That's David's, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Sven's plural, Belgian World Selection.
I like that one because that sort of has the collusion in there. That,
yeah.
You know, somehow Sven Ness was back there pulling the strings.
Exactly. He was behind the curtain doing something. Yeah. World's favorites completely blowing up. Oh, that's, I guess, Matthew Vanderpool.
I think that's,
I guess.
That's got to be the only one.
In general, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe Pidcock.
Pidcock. Too. Yeah. No, that's a good call. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is a good one. KFC.
It is probably Pidcock. I'm just sorry to step on your toes there, Scotty D. But when you look at the way they spelled favorites, it's Pidcock.
Oh, you're right. You got the U in there. Good call.
Then we have two submissions for KFC sliced knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened post world. So, I mean, it still got a ton of attention. Don't get me wrong. But maybe if that had happened earlier, it would have gotten even more, I think. Go ahead, Bill.
Since you guys are the gear guys, shouldn't rounded rotors be mandatory?
I completely agree with what Jeremy Power said in your interview, is if you can lower that from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10,000, why would you not do that? Or 1 in whatever, 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 2,000. If you can make it a smaller number, why would you not do it for something that simple?
Yeah.
So I think you still see it, because if you hit your knee straight on to something that thin, there's chances are, you could split your skin no matter what, right? But you could do the same thing if you hit a chain ring or almost anything, right? A pedal just right. You could split your skin. So, but I think if that lowers the risk, why not do it? It's a simple thing to do. So
I think they should give more fans disc brake bikes, because good people with disc brakes always should outnumber the bad people with disc brakes. arming the announcers. Are you for that, by the way? Bill, you're an announcer. Don't you think you should be armed?
I think we already are. We get to talk louder than anybody else in the venue.
Make fun of everybody.
Everybody has to listen to us.
That is true.
And amazingly, they don't hear any of it.
They don't hear
only see the important stuff.
Is this registration?
And the final submission for most controversial moment is people pretending that Matthews 32 victory puts him up there with Libaton and Devlemic. Oh.
Oh, the haters out there, man.
Haters out there.
That one was from Wout, though.
That's right.
All right, on to the next category. We've got two more left. So these are my two favorite. Our next category is what we call CXer of the Year. Now, I think almost every submission we got from viewers was a rider, but notice it does not say rider, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So this does not have to be a rider. So I think, are we back to you, Bill?
No.
First, or is it? Oh, David. David, you're first. So who did you pick for CXer of the Year?
I went with the men's world champion. I went with Wout van Aert. And I'll tell you why. I think that, with all of the reasons why he should have really struggled at Worlds, he has a very short memory from race to race, and he just goes out and just gets it done. And as we've talked about before, is it the magic tires? Is it the sprinkle of moon dust on his saddle? Whatever it is, and whatever controversies there were going into it, slow bikes, fast bikes, just puts it all out of his head, focused, concentrates when other racers that were predicted to do very well might not have been working so hard in the weeks leading up to Worlds. He stayed focused, and he went out and he did it. Wout van Aert, crosser of the year.
Good pick. Bill, did you want to go next or you want me to go?
You can go.
All right, my pick for CXer of the Year. I'm going to pick someone, and this is and when you think about what I'm about to say, you'll go, my God, he's right.
Oh, man.
This is a person we have not mentioned.
I have one of these, too. If it's the same, this is going to be awesome. Go. Yeah.
We have not mentioned this person the entire show. And they had a great season. It is CXer of the Year. For my pick is Katie Keough.
Nice. Yes.
I think, had
considered her as well with her second place throughout the season.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
And in so many ways, she gets overshadowed by so many other things that happened. I think we forget about Katie Keough a little bit. And in my opinion, this year, she kind of embodies what CXer of the Year is. It's the person who is like, who embodies your vision of a cyclocross racer. And she just goes out there, crushes it time and time again. Second overall at the World Cup. Great ride at Worlds. And you hardly ever hear anything about her. So she is my pick. CXer of the Year, Katie Keough. Bill, right. I'm interested now to hear who you got.
Well, I need a reinterpretation of the rules here, because I had one, and then when you were going through it, I was like, oh yeah, and I was going to make a call an audible here. I was going to call a Philly special on the line, and show CXer of the Year, so it doesn't have to be a rider.
No, it doesn't have to be a rider. Okay. No, uh-uh.
Here is
it doesn't
my
have to be a rider.
here is my CXer of the year, and it sort of ties in with your pick, Scott. My CXer of the year, and again, going back to my theme of keeping things domestically, although this moved into international as well, is Stu Thorne.
Great pick.
Stu Thorne, who put together the dominant, and has for years put together the dominant cyclocross program in the United States, had Katie Keough, who was second in the World Cup, had Stephen Hyde, who was national champion, Pan Am champion. But even before that, bringing home all of the prize money pretty much in the U.S. Cup with Hyde and was White in? No, but at least Hyde winning and then Katie and Emma both.
Right, you haven't even mentioned Emma yet.
Emma in there as well.
And Hyde 15 at Worlds. I mean, that's just incredible.
Just a solid program and just no nonsense. Nicest guy in the world, but isn't going to take any crap and just runs his program, does just this phenomenal stuff. It has been able to keep together a large program in days and, you know, in a time when we don't see that anymore. I mean, we see, you know, it sucks with Aspire, but we see Jeremy Power's team, which was like this preeminent team as well, that just isn't going to continue. And we see that across the country with all these changes. But I mean, we can look back to cyclocross world from the days of, you know, Tim Johnson and all those teams all the way up to still just going strong. So Stu Thorne, he's my pick.
I was going to point that out as well, Bill. I think that's an excellent pick. Especially if you look back at, this is not just some flash in the pan, got lucky this year. And there's this guy named Powers that raced with Stu Thorne. Trebon was with him.
Jamie.
Hyde, obviously. Jamie Driscoll. He's got a program that has been very supportive, has been a mainstay in cross for years, and has produced some of the best racers, not just the fastest racers, but some of the best people that we're seeing racing in cyclocross today.
And couple that with the development program that he's put together as well. That's building, you know, they may not go up to the elites, but we're still seeing, you know, people from that team who are going on to elite careers. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And next year we're going to see Alex Morton win Junior Worlds.
There you go.
Indeed we will. If he just learns to take the escalator.
All right. No, very legitimate. I love the pick. It is awesome. And I mean, you guys said it all. There's nothing I need to add to that. So
if I go for a racer, it would have been Vanderpool in 32 wins. Cause that's just, I mean, that can't be overlooked. That's just insane.
No, that doesn't happen by accident, right? That's not luck. All right. So CX of the year, I believe, who went first, David? Or did I go first?
David,
it's your turn
to
read the list.
Tape. Oh, it's my turn to read the list. CXer of the year. Matthew Vanderpool in the first two spots, and then Matthew Vanderpool, Sonic Kant, Matthew Vanderpool, and Lucinda Brand, who, by the way, is going to win Ronde van Vlaanderen, according to this viewer. Then Vanderpool.
That's a different
Compton.
Guy.
Yeah. He's not Vanderpool, right? Vanderpool?
Yeah. I was almost going to say that's his brother, but no, that wouldn't work.
No. That's his cabana boy.
That's his counterfeit knockoff. So, since nobody else can see the list, it's spelled POOL on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Then Katie Compton, Sane Kant, J-Pow, Asana, the Jonathan Page, Matthew Vanderpool, and finally, Katie Effin Compton.
Nice. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie Compton's a good pick, as is Jonathan Page. That's a nice pick in there because he definitely embodies cyclocross in my mind. So, all right, we are on to our last category, and this is like our biggest category. This is the one we always say is the big one, right? I don't know why, but it's called our Being Excellent Award, and it's kind of like just our chance and yours to pick just the person for whatever reason you want that you think just kicked butt this year, representing or living the cyclocross life, or however you want to interpret it, just being an excellent person for the sport in general, are all things you can consider, and you can pick whoever you want for this one. And this is like just somebody that you want to say, pat on the back and say, good on ya. So
this also can be a non-person, am I correct?
Sure, sure, absolutely, absolutely. All right, whose turn is it to go first? Like, I don't know
I think it's you, Scotty.
All right, my pick for being excellent this year is, and this just like, so I just glanced over at my list. You guys know who I picked last year? Confetti cannon person.
Do you have our picks as well? You
don't, no, I just have I just have my list. We got to go back and listen to the show for your picks. All right, so I'm picking. This is a kid that blew me away at U.S. Cyclocross Nationals. We talked about him many times on this show. The attitude that this kid showed me
happened to him
at U.S. Nationals is Lane Maher.
Nice.
When we came up to him at the finish line, after his, he had just the worst luck in the world, and the kid's got a smile on his face from ear to ear, and these words come out of his mouth: I got so much to be happy for this season. I almost, like, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I'm like, here's this kid, like, teaching me about life. So, Lane Maher, well-deserving being excellent award from me for the year, for this season. Keep it up, dude. You're awesome, and we will be definitely watching and cheering for you.
We got to send him something special for that.
A t-shirt.
We should send him a signed jersey.
There we go. All right. Who wants to pick next? Bill?
I think Bill's up.
Okay. I was split on this one. I will say that a definitely being excellent, and if we're going to go organization, and I don't want to sound like a homer when I say this, but Trek Bikes definitely needs a huge shout out here. One, for the equal pay in the World Cup that they hosted, and will be doing the same thing next year, and by using their bully pulpit to try to pressure other races to follow suit is great, and we love seeing that done. And then also with their coverage of the Dave Ave, so between them and, you know, Flow Bikes and other places out there, getting to be able to see races now is pretty awesome. But what I wanted to, and again, this is going to be also a homer, I'm giving it to the cyclocross media in the U.S. this year, which I've been a part of that crowd for a decade or so now, and I don't know, I thought especially with Nationals and even leading up to that, the coverage was amazing, the level of photographers out there, the level of videos that are out there, even like Flow Bikes, all the stuff that they're doing out, Ian's doing, Cyclocross Magazine I think is doing awesome work as well, and just that everybody, it was such a great environment to work in this year, where there's a lot of cooperation. Everybody's friendly out there. We know, you know, we're not CNN versus Fox here. There's not millions of dollars on the line. We're all just trying to, you know, work for our clients and doing the best job we can and make sure that fans and people out there get to see cool coverage. And everybody takes a lot of pride in their work, and we have a good time and get along. So my being excellent award is for the domestic cyclocross media.
I think that's a great pick. And how many times this year did we hear after U.S. Nationals, oh my God, the coverage was so good.
Yeah, starting
after all these hard years that we've had where there was problem, and now finally everything comes together. It's beautiful. They did an excellent job.
Yeah, and just on that part of it, it was fantastic. And then I'm just, you know, just even down, just like from the stuff that Bruce has been putting out to Pin Grit to what Perker puts out, and Ethan, and just all these great photographers out there as well. I mean, I think just the stuff that we get in this community that is out there, you know, we're pretty lucky. That doesn't happen for all sports this size or even all disciplines of cycling.
Yes, agreed. Great pick. David, what do you got for us?
First, I'm going to add to Bill's comment that this community is excellent. Really, it's so cool that three little yokels like us can actually play a role in this, and people know who we are when we go to events and stuff. We always, almost always feel welcome. It's very, very cool that at this level of this sport, it's still very much a community, and that's really cool. Good thing to be part of it. So that is really cool. And again, following Bill's lead with the homer, and I'm surprised. I thought this is where you were going, Bill. I was psyched to be last because I know I have the right answer. But then I thought you were going to throw it out there. The wide-angle podium.
Nice pick.
The wide-angle podium with their support, and this is, in all seriousness, with their support of our show, their support of Bike Shop CX with Scotty D and I, they really has provided a platform for Cross to grow and really get out there for the media stuff, for the vocal stuff for our viewers. So a big thanks to the Wide Angle Podium. A big thank you to
throwing sponsoring Katie Compton in there.
Yeah, and Katie Compton, by all means. I mean, the Wide Angle Podium is not just Cross, but they chose a Cross racer when they were looking for someone to sponsor. And they're reaching out to communities with fundraisers such as the T-shirts through Ixnay. It's great, and I'm proud and very flattered to be part of the Wide Angle Podium. Now, if we can just figure a way to get rid of those slow ride guys, it would be perfect.
We can dominate. Oh, well, that's great. That's a good pick, dude. I like that. I like that a lot. So I think three excellent picks. But we had some viewer picks. So this is the last viewer list. I think it's my turn to read these off. And as Bill mentioned, and I think we would all put in that in agreement with this, the first two are Trek bikes for equal payouts and free DeVeVe stream. I think, like you said, Bill, this has been the easiest year to watch Cross ever. If you wanted to stream Cross, so very, very cool. Someone said the foot operated flushing toilets at Cokesida. That's nice. I wonder, does the award go to Cokesida or does it actually go to the toilets themselves? I don't know.
It goes to the patent holder.
The next person picked Helen Wyman for social media and racing all over the place. We remember what a great job she did when her sponsorship changed and how she put everything out there. That was awesome. Helen Wyman again. Trek, another vote for Trek. Katie Keough for bringing my top to world champs. I think she brought something to one of our viewers. So we did. I'm glad there's a second mention of Katie Keough in there. And then, of course, 14-time excellent Katie Effin Compton. Of course, what a great pick that is. Trek again for streaming DeVeVe and equal payouts. Someone picked Wout's performance at Worlds. And then the last one is, again, Trek Bikes, massive CX support this year. And I think all of us here would completely agree with that. So that's our list.
Yeah.
Guys.
I'll say it again. You know, look at what that list was, and with Trek, and not, you know, to put more praise onto them, but even and that the business decision to do that. I mean, the money that they spent a lot of money on the World Cup and on the DeVeVe and all of that good stuff. But man, the goodwill and the marketing upside that they got from that, I think, was huge. And it's just like, why other companies aren't taking that lead and doing similar things, I don't know. Because,
And it's going to continue with what they've got lined up for next year that we're already seeing, right?
For sure. Yeah.
So for it's going to be even better support. So that's awesome. Yeah, I tweet every single time that I stream a DeVeVe race. I make sure I put out there on Twitter, big thanks to Track Bikes, because, man, it certainly makes things. I love the fact, Bill, that we've come full circle now and you actually have to use a VPN from China to watch the DeVeVe race from here.
That was hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
even for, and then, you know, can't leave out NBC, that even for Worlds and the World Cup,
sure,
that we can, you know, you pay pretty much a nominal fee and you get to see that as well. So, yeah, it's definitely a different world, and people, the people that complain about coverage these days, just I'm assuming are all 11 years old.
They don't know how we used
to remember.
Suffer.
We used to wait for the magazine to come out.
That's right.
Oh man,
pass it around the shop for years.
You couldn't even find it then. All you could find was Tour de France, and it was, you know, ancient little section of type on the newspaper. So, all right. Anything else you guys want to talk about or add?
No.
Hey, we got to give a shout out. I know we were, and especially you, Bill, kept coming back to the States. But coming on as a late addition fan to the show, Tyler Cloutier from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Great tweet by him today.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. We did talk about the States a lot. We got to talk about Canada. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say?
No, I'm just saying. Just saying that we got to give a call out to Tyler, man.
It's tough, too, because we love Michael Vandenham. I mean, you know, he's been our favorite Canadian for years, but I think Tyler beats him out.
I think he does.
Oh, geez.
Because, you know, he's really a Canadian Belgian.
I don't want to, like, you know, put into jeopardy Tyler's position on you know, MBDH's team, but man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to upstage the boss.
So
you gotta be careful
maybe
with that.
Next
yeah.
year we change the show name to TDDTIC.
They do that in Canada.
Or maybe we have a TDDTIC corner every week.
Should. In all seriousness, you should check out Tyler's diaries from Belgium. That was a pretty crazy experience that he had going over there and racing for the last month.
For sure.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. So do we want to, like, put out there what any plans are for doing shows now that we don't have any more cyclocross races and cross season is officially over? What's our plan?
In the Northern Hemisphere?
We're probably not going to do a show next week, I would assume, right?
Oh, I'm going to be in South Africa.
Oh, that's right. Mountain bike starting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll be covering more mountain biking on Crosshairs Radio, Bill, so that'll be cool. But we'll do, you know, we'll pick up a show here and there during the off season, kind of like we did last season, I think. Don't you, Bill?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I got some things lined up as far as some one-on-ones. We're definitely going to have Stephen Hyde on here in the next few weeks, and then I'll probably chime in with some mountain bike stuff. I hope you all follow along with the upcoming cross country mountain bike season, which does start in a week in South Africa. So
wish I was gonna be there, dude.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to the I don't know how many hours on a plane and having to go to Istanbul first, but other than that.
But at some point, the final calendar will come out. We'll go over the new calendar for cyclocross for the upcoming season. We'll talk about the U.S. schedule calendar, any team changes, anything like that we've heard. But, yeah, I think it's been a great season, you guys. It's been a pleasure doing the show every week with you, almost every week with you guys, don't you think? Been a good season?
Yeah, some weeks it hasn't been a pleasure at all.
Some weeks it was really bad.
It was tough getting you guys on the schedule every week, that's for sure.
All right.
A special shout out to Mr. David Pallon for being our master scheduler.
Yes. All season long, we've been getting calendar invites, so that's been awesome. So.
I appreciate your promptness. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry there.
Bill, social media. Hit us.
I started tweeting again. I couldn't stay away.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah.
I was rooting for you.
I know. I went a good week or so. I was just watching. I was just watching and retweeting, and that was nice.
Well, see,
but then, you know.
One of the things I do is I only tweet from my computer now. I don't have it on my phone. I still have all my accounts. I can still go to Twitter. I can still see stuff on Twitter. But it's not this constant thing, you know, anymore for me. And so that's.
But
that's
it is a way to get stuff out, like the garage races that we have starting. And if you are in the DC area, please come on out to the Crosshairs Garage Races. They take place every Wednesday night in March, and then the first week in April. So we'd love to see you out there. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can do that at feedback@cxairs.com. And then on social media, at cxairs on Twitter and on Instagram. And then also, I'm gonna have to check on it. There's, on YouTube. Yeah. Go to crosshairstelevision.com. Okay.
Cool. David.
At Mr. David Pound, you can find me on the Instagram and on the Twitters.
And me, Scott Dienbach, I am Bike Shop CX on Instagram, at Bike Shop CX on Twitter, or at CyclocrossNet on Twitter. All right, guys, I think that's another season in the bag. I can't wait because the next race for me on my calendar is the Elma GP. So I'll see you guys there.
All right.
There you go, JB. You got your little plug.
Later, guys.
Cross is coming. Bye.